Matthew chapter 10. The message this morning is a God who cares for you, who also is permitted to take back what is dearest to you. The God who cares, but it is His power to take back what He's given to you. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 35, I came to set a man at variance against his father and the daughter, against her mother and the daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Father or mother, son or daughter, if you love them more than you love the Lord Jesus, you are not worthy of Him. Now, some passages that show us the time when God, who cares for us, takes back the things dearest to us. So turn to Genesis 22. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did put Abraham to the test. He proved him and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning. Look at verse 12. After all this is done, it says, Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Now, Ezekiel 24. Verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet thou shalt neither mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Sigh, but not aloud, make no mourning for the dead. Bind thy head tire upon thee, and put thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died. And I did in the morning as I was commanded. Now, 2 Samuel. Verse 26. This is the sorrowful poem that David wrote about Saul, King Saul, and his son Jonathan. In verse 26, I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Let us speak to God again briefly in prayer. Our Father, we look to thee for blessing. Hear us, we ask of thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. I'm afraid that most of us have forgotten that all that we are and all that we have comes from God. In the first place, he did not have to give it. And in the second place, he is sovereign and may take it back when it pleases him. And the remarkable thing is this. If you read the passages in Scripture about God taking back things, he knows precisely what is dearest unto man, what is dearest unto you, and that's what he asks for back again. Anything less is of no importance to him. But as I read to you in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, if anybody loves, and he mentions the things nearest and dearest to you. And I did not read this, but I will tell you about it. In Deuteronomy 13, he speaks about sons and daughters and mothers and wives and friends. And he says, if any of these turn from God and worship idols and come and try to get you to forsake God and worship idols, you shall turn them over, sacrifice them to God. Well, why did he have to mention them? Your mother, your father, your wife, your children, your dearest friend. Because he knows what is dearest to you. And that's the only way that he can know that he is dearer to you than any earthly thing. And what happens is this, that we have forgotten what Solomon knew and what David knew and what Job knew. Listen to the prayer. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given. He knew it. Everything that I have, it comes of thee. And anything I give to you, I give back to you what you first gave to me. He knows that. And when Job was called upon to make a sacrifice far greater than anything that we have read so far, not one son, but seven sons and three daughters. It says that he rent his garment, and in the presence of God, he said, naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I do not know if you have grown that much to respond to God when he takes back the things dearest to you. Sometimes in the Bible, he asks you to give back to him those dearest things. He did to Abraham. He said, Abraham, take now thy son whom thou lovest, thine only son, and I want you to offer him unto me for a burnt offering. You see? He asks Abraham, and Abraham is equal to what God asked him for. Others of us, he never asks. Why? Because you wouldn't give it to him. He knows that. And so he takes it from you without asking. You say, how can he do that? God is in the heavens. He hath done what pleased him. You say, well, what kind of God is a God that would do such a thing? Why, the only being that is worthy of being called God If God is not sovereign, then he is not God. And if God is not one who can arrange all that occurs on earth, then he's not God. And so you have invented some other being less than God. The Lord Jesus knew that. When he had done his mightiest works and people did not respond, the Savior said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You understand? When things apparently failed, the Lord Jesus thanked God and acknowledged him as Lord of heaven and earth, not only controlling things in heaven, but things on earth as well. Remember, God is in the heavens. He hath done what he pleased. And it says, he worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, what you and I have to do is to ascertain and understand and accept once for all that God is the creator, that you are the creature, and that he does what he pleases, whether it pleases you or not. At times, he asks you for the thing that's dearest to you. At other times, he takes that dearest thing without asking you. And you never can say to God this, what are you doing? Can you imagine such a thing? Saying to God, what are you doing? That is why I was struck by the temerity of Martha when she went to the Lord Jesus and said, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? You do not speak to God manifest in the flesh that way. And when you are perishing, you do not say to your Maker, do you not care that I am perishing? The very fact that he's on earth and in the boat with you shows his care that you are perishing. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But we say to God, do you care if we are perishing? Yes, he cares. And do you care how there are injustices in life and people put more upon me than I can bear? Throughout the scriptures, he has given us instructions about this. In Galatians 6, he says, we are to bear one another's burdens, and we are to bear our own burdens. At times, he knows when you can only bear so much, and that's all he puts on you. At other times, he knows that you can bear more, and he places that upon you. But so often, when he does, we say to God, what are you doing? Do you not care? Yes. The message today is when the God who cares for you takes back the thing dearest to you. And he knows precisely what you like and what is dearest to you, what is best to you. I gave a message years ago, and it was this. The God who loves sugar cane. Did you know that's in the Bible? He is speaking to Israel, and he speaks of all the things that they like. And among those things was sugar cane. And he said, you haven't given me any sugar cane. Why? Because they wanted it. They wanted to keep it for themselves. And God knows all the deceptions in your heart. He says this, cursed be the man that has a male offering, a bullock that is in perfect condition, and he gives unto me one that has a blemish. And so this is the God who takes back the things dearest unto us. Because if I have a diseased animal, and God said, it's time for you to offer me a sacrifice, I would say, why, yes, God. And I would give him that diseased animal and think that I've done him a favor. And God says, you have insulted me. He said, would you give it to your king? Why? No. He said, well, then why would you offer it to me? And so he knows the deception of your heart. And he doesn't want the thing that is next best to you. He always asks for the thing that is best to you. Because if not, then he does not know if he is preeminent in your life. But if you have an only begotten son whom you love, and God says, I want that son, and you give it to him, then he knows that you love him more than anything else on earth. If you have a wife that is the desire of your eyes, and God says, I want that wife, and you give it to him, he says, I know that you love me. If you have a friend that is as dear to you as Jonathan was to David, and as David was to Jonathan, and you from your heart give up that friend for God, then God knows that you love him more than anything in the world. And so there was a time when God, who cares for you, takes back the thing that is dearest to you. And I'll give you one instance. It says he asked Abraham for Isaac that he might prove him, put him to the test. He tells us that he let Israel go in the wilderness and sent all these experiences upon them that he might prove them to see if they would obey God. And so everything he does in our lives, there is a reason behind it, a purpose behind it. You can never ascertain what it is. But at times, the Lord Jesus will tell you what it is. Do you recall last week when the man that was born blind, why would such a thing happen? The Lord Jesus said, why? That the works of God might be wrought in him. He knew. Why does Lazarus die? The Lord Jesus said, that the Son of Man might be glorified, that God's Son might be glorified. And if you say, do you mean that God being glorified, the Lord Jesus being glorified, is more important than my keeping the things dearest to me? Yes. Who do you think you are? Who am I? Who are we that we should sit in judgment upon God? And that's what Job did. This is what God said to him from heaven. He said, would you condemn me that you might be justified? Would you set aside my judgments? And during all this time that Job was being tried, after the first glorious success, afterwards he spoke things that he regretted. But at the end, he said to God, he said, I know that you can do all things, and no purpose of thine can be restrained. He said, I abhor myself. I'm nothing. But he was prepared to go into the presence of God and reason with him until he saw God. He said, I've heard about you. He said, now that I've seen you, he said, I am nothing. Well, what God is seeking to do is to wait for that time in life when, if we have a son, an only son like Isaac, a wife that is the desire of our eyes, a friend that we love more than the love of any woman, God says, so those are the things that are dearest to you. Give them back to me. And if we hesitate, then we understand that there is something dearer to us on earth than our God who is in heaven. Notice, if you read in Matthew 10 and in Deuteronomy 13, how God picks out those very things that we want most. He names them, and he tells us how we feel about them. Notice, he said to Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son, whom you love. He knew that he loved that son. And he said concerning Ezekiel, the desire of your eyes. Here is a husband who loved his wife. She was the desire of his eyes. And we would say today, she is the apple of my eye, the thing that I desire most in life. And also, when David, going through life, being chased as a partridge upon the mountain, there was one friend that stood beside him to the end, and that was Jonathan. His own wife was prepared to abandon him. She ridiculed him and scorned him. But when King Saul said to Jonathan, "You are to be my successor. You are to sit upon the throne of Israel," it meant nothing to Jonathan. When he was talking to David, and Saul was trying to kill David, he said concerning his father, "My father shall never destroy you." He said, "You are going to be king, and I shall be next unto you." Whom do you know that says, "I'll take second place"? Most of us, we are prepared to push to the side and say, "You after me." Even James and John, "Lord, we want to sit on your right hand and your left hand in your kingdom. We want to be first in your kingdom." Jonathan said, "David, you are to be first, and I am to be second." And so at times, there are those things that are established, and he takes them away. And at times, those things that are filled with prospects, and he takes them away. Here is Isaac, not much more than a teenager. And God says, "Now, I want him back." How many plans did God have in the future with Abraham for his son, Isaac? But God said, "We're going to dash those plans. I want him." How much love and comfort was there in the wife of Ezekiel that Ezekiel was looking forward to? How difficult in being a prophet, but God had given him a help meet, one equal to his need. And God said, "She is the one that I want." And here is David going through life abandoned, and yet God gave him Jonathan, a friend whom David loved more than his love for women, a pure love, a godly love, and that can be among friends. And I was thinking this, here are some, and concerning their wives, it says, "She is the desire of your eyes." But I've looked at so many documentaries lately, and I find husbands that do not love their wives, but they are murdering their wives. Why? Well, I'm getting on in the business world, and my wife is going to keep me back, and so he has her murdered. Or, and I'm thinking, one I knew, I cannot conceive of such a thing. One that was supposed to be a Christian, and his wife was dying, and he was glad she was dying, because he was in debt, and he wanted the insurance money that he would get when his wife died. And at the same time, others whose eye falls upon a Bathsheba, and then he is prepared to kill his wife, or have someone else kill her. And so, here is Ezekiel, and thank God for such men as Ezekiel, who love their wives, and whose wives are a stay and a support to them. I thank God for that in my life. And loving that wife, God says, "Well then, I want her." And he does not ask Ezekiel. He said, "Go about your business. I'm going to take this wife." And it says Ezekiel preached in the morning, and in the evening, God smote his wife, and she died. And he said, "I don't want you to shed one tear. How can this be?" And yet God said, "No." He allowed David to weep over Jonathan, and he allowed Abraham to weep over Sarah, his wife. But at times, he wants us to control our very emotions, that lessons might be taught to the people of God. And so what is dearest to you? He wants us to grow and arrive at a place in life that we might say, "To me, to live is Christ." He tests us, and he wants us to understand and to accept whatever happens, that indeed he is the God who cares, but he is the sovereign God who has the right to take back the dearest thing that he gave to us. Let us pray. Our Father, when you give us things that bring so much pleasure to us, yes, you are God who cares. But when you ask for them back, our God, let us know that we fail. So forgive us. We think of Job, and we think of others whom you called upon. Abraham, he was equal to the test. And others, our God, they were equal to it in doing what you said. So whether it be a son or a wife or a friend, let them prove to be in our lives inferior to you. Let us love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to know, our God, that you care for us, whatever happens. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.